What were you thinking about your spouse the day you got married? Dave Wilson has a guess.
You know, I do weddings as a pastor quite often, and there's like two types of weddings. And, you know, you look at this groom and this bride there, and you know they're thinking these things. It's never said out loud, but there's two types. The first, I wrote it down this way. I said, the first type of wedding is this. They're thinking, you are the most important person in my life. They're looking at each other. You are the most important person in my life. You complete me. You are the answer to all my hopes and dreams. That's one kind of wedding that you see. It's like they're putting all their hopes and dreams in each other. Then there's another type of wedding, and this is what they're thinking. You are not the most important person in my life. Jesus is. And because Christ is the most important person in my life, I'm going to treat you better than I could ever treat you if you were the most important. Christ will help me love you more than I ever could in my own strength.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. So do you think you have been expecting things from your spouse that God never equipped your spouse to do or to be in your marriage? We're going to hear more about that today from Dave Wilson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So how many weddings do you think you've done? Do you have any idea?
Several hundred, I'm guessing.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
30 like, some, almost 40 years, yeah.
So like you do 30 a year?
There were times. We do less now.
Yeah.
But there were times, yeah, we were doing 20, 25,
and,
30.
And weddings have an interesting dynamic to them, don't they?
Oh, they sure do.
Are there times when you're standing in front of the bride and groom and going, I don't know if these kids are going to make it?
There are times, many times. There was one wedding. I won't mention the names.
That's good.
But as I sat in the back room, I thought to myself, they won't make it 6 months.
Wow.
This was a couple I didn't know very well. I sort of brought in, you know, not even church people at our church, and they were divorced in 6 months.
Wow.
You sort of know sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it is, what rules are they following? In fact, that's the message that we heard an excerpt from here is a message that you gave at Kensington Church that juxtaposed the old rules of relationships and weddings and marriage with the new rules. And this was something where you'd read Chip Ingram's book on this, right?
Yeah, years ago, several decades ago, a couple decades ago, we read a book. I think it was called Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships by Chip Ingram. And I've never forgotten it because it stuck so close to reality. And really, old rules means what's the culture in the world telling you to do? New rules means what's God? What's God's word? It isn't new at all, but it's so ancient and not applied to people, don't even think it's there. It's not new. It's old. But when you do it, it feels brand new.
We interviewed Chip on that book years ago when the book came out. And I remember him talking about kind of the Hollywood rules, the cultural rules. And that's really the difference. The old rules are the rules that people have been trying to implement for the last 30 or 40 years that just don't work. And so we need some new rules, which are the biblical rules. They're actually the old rules brought new again.
Well, exactly. And the problem is they don't work. Hollywood's version is finding the right person, and that never works because we all think we found the right person. The question is, how do we get beyond that?
And it's interesting, you know, back then when that book came out, there wasn't a show on TV that reveals this as good as anything. I'm sure, Bob, you never watched
there
this
is
show.
Today.
But I've seen it enough times to know The Bachelor or The Bachelorette is a very interesting study of how people try to find love.
We watched that one season, and Dave, he couldn't even watch it. He was standing up, pacing around like, what is happening? This is the most ridiculous thing.
I was preaching to the TV.
Yes, you were.
He's like, this doesn't work. It's so clear to see, but obviously people don't see that.
Well, again, what we're going to hear today is that the new rules, which are the biblical rules, the rules that we need to be paying attention to when we're trying to make a marriage work. This is really stuff that we've talked about for years at the Weekend Remember Marriage Getaway, and we've been sharing with our listeners this week that in honor of your new role as hosts of Family Life Today, our team decided we should take a week and celebrate and let our listeners know you've spoken for 3 decades now at Weekend to Remember Getaways. So this week, if you want to sign up for an upcoming getaway, you get the Dave and Ann Wilson special deal.
Ooh.
You like this?
I want that deal.
The Dave and Ann Wilson special deal. You sign up this week, and you'll get 40% off the regular registration fee for any of our upcoming getaways. And we're just doing this for 1 week as a way to say welcome to you guys and to focus on what's important in a marriage relationship. So go to FamilyLifeToday.com for information about this 1 week special that we're offering to Family Life Today listeners, and we hope to see you out at an upcoming Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. So what are the old rules, the rules that aren't working for relationships?
You know, it's a study of humanity. When you watch how couples fall in love, it usually takes this sort of course, like 4 steps. Step number 1, find the right person. Right? And how do you know? It's the question. Like, you just know. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this chemistry and you just know. And then when
it's
you
all
find...
About, and it's all about feelings.
Oh, yeah. And you find the right person. We even have a name for it. The one. Right? Then step 2 is you fall in love. And fall in love, man, you fall head over heels.
Yeah,
I can't live without this person. And then step number 3 is you fix all your hopes and dreams on that one person. Mm-hmm. There it is. It's like they are the center of my life and the universe. And I do love one John Legend song where he does say, all of me loves all of you. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's like, all of me, I'm going to fix all my hopes and dreams on you. And then step 4, which is really interesting, if failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
And so you go back to John Legend, and at that point, it's like half of me loves half of you, right?
Yeah.
But we get disappointed. And so the old rules, it's really interesting. It's like, well, this didn't work. I obviously found the wrong person. So I go back to step 1, and guess what? It's not going to work because the plan is flawed from step 1. If you go back and start over again, you're going to end up step 4. You need a new plan, a new rule, new way to do it.
Well, we're going to hear the new way to do it, which is really the old way to do it.
Right.
If you think about it, it's what the Bible has to say. But this is from a message that you gave at Kensington Church about the difference between the old rules and the new rules for marriage.
So the new rules is really interesting where it starts. And even in the formula of the old rules, you go to the Bible and you go to a New Testament. And by the way, when I was going to church growing up, I never knew there was anything practical in the Bible at all. And so I'm going to take you to just 2 verses. 2 verses I think will change your life, especially in the area of relationships. And they don't even talk about relationships. This is really, it's not even applied to relationships until later. The Apostle Paul wrote the book, a book called Ephesians, to a church in a city called Ephesus. And he applies this principle at the beginning of chapter 5 to parenting, to marriage, to dating. He actually loves sex and dating. But he starts it with this principle we got to understand in verse 1. He says this. He says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, does he say anything about relationships there? No. What's he said? Therefore, be imitators. Now, whenever you see therefore, you got to ask, why is it therefore? Well, he has just spent 4 chapters, the 4 chapters before chapter 5, saying, let me tell you who God is. That's theology. You got to understand the character of God. This is who he is. Now, let me teach you who you are, the identity of who you are. You are his beloved child. Why? Because what Jesus did, he explains all that in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he says, oh my gosh, do you understand? You are absolutely loved by a God who adores you. Some of you walked in here today and you do not believe you're loved by God. You are loved by God. You're thinking, no. You don't know what I did last night. And God does know what I did last night. Yeah, God does know and he loves you. It's called grace. It's called the gospel. He shouldn't, but he does. Just as he shouldn't love us, but he does. It's called grace. That's who God is. That's theology. It's like, oh my gosh, if that's not who you believe God is, you don't know who God is. God absolutely adores you. You walk in here today or you don't even go to church. He absolutely loves you as his beloved child. That's your identity. And so Paul says, be imitators of God.
And some of us, I didn't grow up in the church. And so for me, I had no idea what God was like. Only what I had heard about God, that he's judging, that he condemns us, that he's not for us. And I think that's one of the things, like in this point, of get to know him. Because as you get to know him, you'll see that he loves us, that he's full of grace, that he forgives us. He's a God of second chances and third and fourth and fifth, that he never leaves us, that he's always encouraging, that he's cheering us. Like, you can do this. That's who God is. And so it's saying we are to mimic that in relationships.
And so you apply that to the new rules. The old rules had 4 steps. The new rules have 4 steps. They're the same but different. The first step is this. Become the right person. It isn't about finding the right person. It's about becoming the right person. It's totally life-changing to start there. It isn't like, I got to go find her or find him. It's like, no. I got to look in the mirror and work on me. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to copy, mimic God. I'm supposed to resemble God, the one who loves me. I'm supposed to have that character in me. It's about me understanding my identity as a beloved child of God, living that out to then work on me becoming the right person, and then move into love, sex, and dating, and then move into a relationship that could end up in marriage. It changes the whole starting point.
Dave and I heard a story this week about this girl named Tara. She was raised in a Christian home, family went to church, like they were living out their faith. But as she became an adult, she moved to a big city. She kind of did away, like, you know, that was good for growing up, but I'm going to do my own thing now. So she stopped going to church, stopped reading her Bible. She was just living the party life, trying to hook up with as many people, getting to know them, but and also trying to find the right guy. So this one day, she calls her mom. She goes, Mom, I met this guy at like in a group of people. He is everything I've been looking for. He's handsome, he makes good money, he's kind, he's a believer, like he really lives his faith and it's important to him because he was talking about him. And she kept going, and then she's like, what do you think, Mom? And her mom was quiet, and she says, oh honey, a guy like that is not gonna want a girl like you. And she fell on the floor crying instantly, because she knew that he wouldn't want her based on what she was like. And yet, isn't it funny how we do that? Like, I want this and this, but are we that? And so for me, that was like, oh my gosh, becoming the right person, that's where it starts. It's almost like where if you're dating or you're single, or even if you're in high school, middle school, like now's the time to build the foundation of becoming that. Even if you're married, what would it look like if we started spending time with God, getting to know him so that he could start living in us? His power and his grace could be lived out through us.
I think the question you need to ask, and write this down, especially if you're single, and I think it applies to marriage as well, is are you becoming the person you're looking for is looking for? That's what Tara realized right there. Are you becoming the person you're looking for is looking for? Don't think about them. Think about you. I love what Les and Leslie Parrott, who wrote a book called Relationships, said. It's such a powerful quote. They said, if you attempt to build intimacy with a person before you've done the hard work of becoming a whole and healthy person yourself, every relationship will be an attempt to complete the hole in your heart and the lack of what you don't have. That relationship will end in disaster. And I read that years ago. I'm like, oh my gosh, that describes almost every relationship. It's like we work on them. We don't work on us. Even the old rules is like, find the right person, fall in love, fix all your hopes on them. And here's what we do once we get married. Then we try to change them.
Yes.
To be what we thought they were anyway. And then they don't change. And we say, I'm out. I got to go find the right person. And it's a bankrupt plan. It doesn't work. It's old news. New news, it says, start in a whole different place. Become the right person. Why? Because Paul said, imitate God as beloved children. And then he says what? Walk in love. It's the new rule. Become the right person. Step two is walk in love. He says this. How do you walk in love? He says, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. So what's it mean to walk in love? It's so different than falling in love. Falling in love will follow this. Walk in love is like, I want to love Ann or the person you're dating. How? As Christ has loved me. Paul tells us, how did he do that? He gave himself up. He laid down his life for us. So he says, I'm going to love her in a way that she doesn't deserve, because she doesn't deserve this kind of love. Why would I do that? Because I have a love from God I don't deserve. I don't deserve this. It's called the gospel. It's called grace. I've gotten that from Jesus. Oh my gosh, it's a fragrant offering. It's like, oh, that smells so good. It's beautiful. It's okay. Take that and walk in love. Mimic God to love her that way. And if she's doing the same thing, is that a different way to do life? Oh my gosh, that's a different way to do love,
and it's,
sex,
it's
and dating.
It's so hard. Isn't it? Like, it's so hard when somebody's offended you or to hurt you. Your first inclination is either to draw back or to lash out. But what would it look like? And that's where, to me, it's impossible, like, for us to do that. But that's what God's saying. Is can you love them as an act of your will, not based on your feelings?
And the only way you can do it is step three. The only way you can do it is step three. Fix all your hopes and dreams on what? On who? God. It's no longer, the focus isn't here. It isn't on your potential spouse or on your current spouse. It is on a God who absolutely loves you and gave himself up for you. And when you take your eyes off each other, and maybe together, but even if you don't do it together, but at least you do, you say, I'm going to fix my hope. My dreams are going to be on a God who loves me and wants the best for me. Actually, a God, think of this, a God who loves you so much, he wants to fill your need to be loved. And he knows this, you're never going to find it here, never. It's always going to leave you empty. You will only find it here through the one who gave himself up for us. And so we fix our eyes no longer on the potential spouse or our spouse. We fix our eyes on God. And literally that changes everything. I remember when Ann and I were dating, by the way, we did relationships completely wrong all the way up until we started dating each other. Every relationship was really the old rules. We followed that without even knowing it, even in the church. See, what we do in the church is we do the old plan and we throw Jesus on it. Yes. That's all we do is we throw a little Jesus on it. That's not what works.
We're dating them and we don't really care if they're a Jesus follower or what they think, because we think later on I'm going to change him or her. That'll just come along. And some of you that are married, like, how's that working? That's so hard.
It doesn't work. So when you fix your eyes on him, it changes everything. I remember when Anna and I started dating, so we decided on day one, we're going to build this relationship on Christ. From the very first date. And I'd never done this, really. Never done. I just came out of a four-year relationship that broke my heart, caught her in bed with another guy, and there you were. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm never getting married. I'm done with relationships. And we start dating not too long, so longer. It's like, we're doing this right.
And we even decided, like, let's stay pure in the relationship. We think that's what God wants us to do.
We knew.
Let's try that.
And so we started this thing out totally different with the new rules. We didn't know what they're called at the time, but it's like, I'm not going to focus on her. I'm going to focus on me walking in love. Let's fix our hopes. And I remember several months in, I started to get real anxious about where this was going. You ever do this? It's like you analyze everything they say. You know, it's like, oh, she said 6 months from now. Does that mean she thinks we're going to be together? So I was like, oh my gosh. So I finally shared that with her. You know, I'm really worried. I feel uptight. Like, where is this going? What are we going to do? What do you think? And she's 19. I'm 22, and she says this. Well, you know what I think? I think we should just trust God with this whole thing. Let's fix our eyes on him and let him lead us. If it ends up in marriage, great. If it doesn't, great. And I'm like, yeah, that's a really mature idea.
And let me tell you, that was completely opposite what I've ever done before. Because what I'd always done before is try to control the relationship, try to control the guy because of my insecurity of not knowing who he was or who I was. And so we even said to each other, hey, if we're dating and we weren't engaged, if you're dating and you see someone else, you think, wow, they seem like that could be a good fit. You have the freedom to like go out. And that is like so scary. I don't even know how we did that.
It was such a beautiful thing. There was no fear.
Yeah.
Why? Because our eyes were fixed on Jesus, not each other. And I tell you, I'm not saying that's a great plan. It was like, there was total freedom. I was at a different campus than she was. We're both in college. And if I wanted to date somebody else, no problem. Go for it. And we never did. But it was like, there was a freedom. Why? Because our hopes and dreams were not fixed on each other, that we were trying to control and make something happen. We were literally trusting God with everything. And it was actually a beautiful thing. So here's the amazing thing. You know, I do weddings as a pastor quite often. And there's like two types of weddings. And you know, you look at this groom and this bride there, and you know they're thinking these things. It's never said out loud, but there's two types. The first, I wrote it down this way. I said, the first type of wedding is this. They're thinking this. They're saying, not saying, but they're thinking, you are the most important person in my life. They're looking at each other. You are the most important person in my life. You complete me, Jerry Maguire. You are the answer to all my hopes and dreams. That's one kind of wedding that you see. It's like they're putting all their hopes and dreams in each other. Then there's another type of wedding, and this is what they're thinking. You are not the most important person in my life. Jesus is. And because Christ is the most important person in my life, I'm going to treat you better than I could ever treat you if you were the most important. Christ will help me love you more than I ever could in my own strength. That changes everything. It's like I'm becoming the right person. I'm walking in love, not just falling in love. That follows that. And I'm fixing my hope and dreams on him. I'll tell you what, I'll never forget. Ann and I are dating 5-6 months, somewhere in there. I'm leaving her house at like 2 a.m. She lived with her parents. And so we, you know, I said goodbye to her. I got in my car. I'm driving home to my mom's house. And in the car, I scream out loud, top of my lungs. I don't even realize I do it. I just impromptu. I go, I love Jesus. And it was just like that. I like bounced around in my car. And I'm like, what did I just say? I love Jesus. And it hit me so strongly. It's like, I have never one time had that thought after a night with a girl. And I was with this girl for 4 years, and I would have said, if I had said anything, I love sex. I love her. Never, this relationship is growing me closer to Jesus. And I realized in that car, oh my gosh, this dating relationship with Ann Barron is growing me closer to Jesus. Oh my gosh, I had never experienced that in my life. And I remember having this thought. I think this is probably pretty important in marriage. Now think about this. You're looking at a guy who came from two alcoholic parents who got divorced. And I never saw this. And I don't even know what a great marriage looks like, but I knew this. I think this is like the foundation for a great marriage, and I was right. Jesus is the foundation. And so I would say this, and with no apology, if you're a follower of Jesus and you're dating somebody and that's not happening, run. I know you just got offended by me saying that. I'm saying run, because here's what you're thinking. I'll change them after. Jesus is the most important thing in my life, but it isn't to them, but I'll change them after. No, you won't. The most important thing in the world for any relationship, love, sex, dating, marriage, is a foundation, I believe, in the Creator who gave us love, sex, and dating, and He has a way to do it right. And I'm telling you, you and I both know the old way doesn't work. The numbers play it out. The new way, it works. The divorce rate in the church is 27%. That's high, but nothing. It's half of what it is outside the church. It's actually a better plan. And it starts with fixing your hopes and dreams on Jesus. Become the right person, walk in love, fix all your hopes and dreams on God. And then the last one is the same as the other one. If failure occurs, repeat steps 1, 2, and 3. But now it's a total different plan. When you repeat steps 1, 2, and 3, you're not going, I need a new spouse or I need a new person. You're going, I need to become the right person. I need to become the person I'm looking for is looking for. I need to become an imitator of God. I need to walk in love. I need to fix my hope and dreams on Jesus. And then keep doing that.
I think the thing, like those of you who are single, like I would sit there and I'd hold your face if you're a woman and say, I want you to know that marriage can be amazing. Like I feel like being married to Dave has been one of the greatest gifts of my life. Honestly, it really is one of the greatest gifts, and we almost didn't make it. And the reason marriage can be so great, I feel like for us, is because we have done that. There are times when we butt heads and we've gone through hills and valleys. But when I take my eyes off of my Father who loves me and I stop relying on Him to fill me, I start becoming needy of Dave to do me. So to go back to step one is always so critical, because we're always going to pull away at times and then come back. But going back to step one is huge, because when I fix my hope on Him, He fills all the holes in my life and my needs.
But it's interesting too. If you think about making a list of the kind of person you're looking for, I would say don't make a list of who you're looking for. Make a list for you.
Right.
In fact, I'm going to give you a new list
of who you can be
to go out today to become this person. You know, it's really interesting. You've heard this description of love. I bet you've heard this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Love does not dishonor others. Look at this list. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That's a picture of love that's unbelievable. That's a picture of who I want to become, a patient, kind, considerate person that never quits, that isn't selfish but selfless. It's always protecting, always believing the best, not keeping a record wrong. That's a list that should describe who we are, not just what we're looking for. And some of you know this. I'm guessing most of you know this. Where'd that come from? Where'd that list come from? The Bible, the Word of God. It's 1 Corinthians 13. It's called the love chapter, right? People read that at their marriages like, that's the kind of love we want. Can you imagine going on a date with a guy who is kind and considerate? Who, when he buys you a meal, you don't think there's any alternative motive there? There's no thought of jealousy or envy that's not there? Think about this. Kids like me that are the result of a divorced family, what would have been different in your family if your mom and dad would have lived out that list? Patient, kind, doesn't envy, selfless. And here's the last thing we'll say, is to become that person is impossible. Okay, good luck. See ya. Go try and do that. You can't do it. You can't be patient, kind. It doesn't work. You get married or you get in a relationship and friction starts and you're like, oh my gosh, I am easily angered. You cannot do this. And so here's the last thought. The only chance you and I have of living out to become the person that mimics or imitates God, the only chance we have is what? We need that love to come inside us. What's that called? Jesus. It's called the gospel. Jesus gave his life. Why? So that you and I could have the power of God living literally inside of us to give us the power to be patient, kind, not easily angered, forgiving people. That's impossible without Jesus. So we're going to end this thing right here. The only chance you and I have is Jesus. Only Jesus. It's the only chance you have. What happens when you have Jesus? Darkness trembles. What happens when we have Jesus? Fear leaves. We become fearless people. Can we do that? No. Can we become that person? No. Can Jesus do that in us? Yes. How do we do that? Surrender. In fact, I'm going to give you one last list. I encourage you, put this on your wall and say, God, make me this person. Where does this list come from? Galatians 5:22. Again, Paul says, if you want to know what it looks like to have the Spirit of God empowering you, here's what it looks like. He says, here's the characteristics. He calls them fruit. He says, you will have this in your life when you surrender Jesus and he lives through you. You'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. And I didn't even look. Did I get them? I don't know if I got them in the right order. I just know that list so well because that's the result, the fruit, the product of Jesus and only Jesus being the focus of my life. He gives us a power we don't have. So single people, I'd say, man, put that list right beside your bed or right beside your mirror and get up every morning and fall on your knees and say, God, would you make me a loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, good, faithful, gentle, self-controlled person.
And married people. Oh my gosh. That's exactly what we need too, isn't it? Like, what would it look like if we demonstrated those? And for us, sometimes I can look at that. I have the exact opposite. When I see that list, I think, oh my gosh, I'm so far away. I need to get back on my knees, surrender to Jesus and say, fill me because that's what I want. What would that look like for us in our relationships if we live those things out?
And
if that was our list.
Do not pray this for your spouse.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We want them to be all these things. They're not this. Like, get your eyes off of them, whether you're dating or you're married, and say, no, I need to get my eyes here and on him and say, God, I need you to make me that person. Yeah. It's not about them. It's become the right person. Walk in sacrificial love. Fix my hopes on him. And when that doesn't work, keep doing that plan leads to success.
Well, we've been listening again to Dave and Ann Wilson talking about the new rules for getting a marriage right from a message done at Kensington Church a while back. You were pretty passionate there.
I was going to say, he was preaching,
he was shouting loud.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, those people out there, they don't listen, so you gotta get their attention somehow. Well, no, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, man, you know, sitting here in the studio, you feel a little different, but when you're I know, and Ann and I are sitting up there in front of an attentive group of people that they really are leaning in. You really are passionate about hoping they get it. And not that we don't need it as well, but it's like, oh my gosh, if you live this, it's going to change everything.
As a pastor, you know what's going on in a lot of these couples' lives, and you know that the new rules, become the right person, walk in love, fix your hopes and dreams on God, and just keep doing that over and over again, that'll change their marriage.
It'll change your life. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's why we're so passionate about this subject, because we want people to find life, and the source of life is Jesus.
And in some ways, I feel like we've been lied to, and we bought the lie, and you just keep going down that road, and it's just, it's a road that leads to destruction. And yet, instead of getting on a new road, we call them the new rules, which are, like you said, really the old rules.
Yeah.
They're God's rules that have been around for centuries. You keep going to destruction. It's like, wait a minute, get on a new road, please. And here it is. And we tried to say, here's what that road looks like, and it'll change everything.
You guys know how we've been saying this for years at the Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway. It's threat number one
right. In
a marriage. Threat number one is the idea that the culture can define what makes a marriage work. And anyone who's looking at the cultural plan for marriage is going to find themselves in a mess, right?
Yeah, and I would add, so many people in this generation, I think, look at marriage that has gone down,
mm-hmm. And
they've decided, I'm not getting married. Nobody's told them there's a way to do it that is, that doesn't mean it's not hard. It's very difficult, but it's actually God's way, and it's something you want when you see it done the way God wants it done.
Well, the thing I was going to say, too, was church attendance is going down.
Right.
And that makes me sad because God has a game plan in His Word. And He's saying, follow this because it will bring life to you. It will bring life to your marriage, to your children, to your legacy. And yet, as we walk away from that, we're finding destruction.
We think, I can do this on my own.
Exactly.
I don't need community. I don't need to be sitting under the teaching of God's Word.
Right.
You know, we've still got about 20 or 25 Weekend Remember Marriage Getaways happening this spring. And you've encouraged over the years thousands of couples to go to a Weekend to Remember. This week we're making a special offer. We call it the Dave and Ann Wilson Special. So listeners get an opportunity to attend an upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway, and they save 40% off the regular registration fee. But the hitch is you got to do this before, I think Monday is when it all closes down. So we need to hear from you today, this weekend, Monday at the latest, if you want to take advantage of the special offer, the Dave and Ann Wilson special for an upcoming Weekend to Remember Marriage Getaway. Go to familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY if you have questions about the getaway. You know, I spoke at a getaway in Parsippany, New Jersey. This was a year and a half ago. And one of the couples in the audience was the president of Family Life, David Robbins, and his wife, Meg. This was actually right before you became the president. That's David's right. Joining us in the studio here.
Yeah.
This was right before you signed on as the new president, right?
We were 2 weeks away from actually the installation. So we had been announced, and we decided, let's go to the closest Weekend to Remember, because this will be our last time to ever get to go incognito.
And, you had been to one years ago, back
right.
when you were starting your relationship.
That's right.
But it had been a while.
It had been a while since we had gone to one, and we had the best time. It was such a time of connecting and then just to be able to have the lens of a couple who joined us and their relationship was at a totally different place. And, you know, we were processing some transition realities, and was such a good time for us to connect because we really needed to amongst all of the busyness of life that was happening. They came in at a place where they were at really different places spiritually and came in looking for some help and not knowing where they were headed. And it was great to see how God was working in their marriage and our marriage, and see progress made for both of us at the exact places. God met us in the exact places that we needed to be met.
You know, here's what I think you modeled there, and we don't talk about this enough, but you shouldn't just be thinking, should we go to a Weekend to Remember? But ask yourself the question, who could we take to a Weekend to Remember? And both of us go and use this as a way to help move friends, relatives, neighbors, move them in the right direction spiritually. So when you sign up for a getaway, don't just sign up for yourself. Sign up for you and another couple and plan to go together. Again, the information about the Dave and Ann Wilson special for the getaway is available online at familylifetoday.com. You'll save 40% off the regular registration fee if you sign up before Monday. Or call 1-800-FL-TODAY if you have any questions or if you'd like to sign up by phone. Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear about the baggage all of us bring into a marriage relationship and then what we do with that baggage once we realize it's there. We'll hear more from Dave and Ann Wilson tomorrow. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.